You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 3, Episode 6 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio once again this week. And John, it's an El Clasico special.
Can't wait, Kieran. You'll be in the commentary box, but I'll be cheering the lads on from the stands.
Is that a jab?
Yes.
I did ask John to join me on Between the Stripes match.
What was my answer?
I can't remember. Tell me.
Not a chance.
Yeah, not a chance. Few cans.
I don't know, I'll probably be driving because I'll have to go straight from work, so I'm afraid.
Why wouldn't you commentate then, you know? Valuable service for the overseas listeners.
Sorry, I'm not going to put these poor overseas listeners listening to me for 90 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to be in that crowd.
I suppose.
You'll probably be able to hear me anyway.
Yeah, you have a little go at a few at lone rivals?
I might just do.
Anyone in particular?
Probably that Aaron Brilli fella.
careful now.
Who are you commentating with?
Ger Brilli.
Right, that's his dad, yeah?
It is his dad,
definitely,
yeah.
Have a go at him then.
No, it should be a cracking broadcast. Myself and Ger are going to be going live from Lizzie Wollin at 7:30 with kickoff at 7:45. And with so many Premier Division games off this weekend, it's certainly something a lot of League of Ireland fans might be interested in tuning into, because this is certainly the biggest Midlands derby in many's a year. So you can get that on Mixlr.com/Between the Stripes. And if you sign up, you'll get a notification the minute the broadcasts go live, and you'll get notifications about our future broadcasts, because it's not just Longford Town games we're covering on Between the Stripes Matchday Live. We'll be doing games from all over the country. But John, before we go and speak about the Premier Division results at the weekend, do you want to tell the folks at home who we have on the show tonight?
Well, because it's our El Clasico special, we'll be talking to Longford's wonder kid, Aid Dervin.
Yeah, looking forward to getting the local lad on. Obviously, it's a criticism a lot of people aimed at the club for many years, that there's not enough local players playing for Longford, but Aid Dervin, testament to what can come through the system in Longford.
Yeah, and to be fair to Neil Fenn, he's given him a chance at a very young age, and he's been excellent and an ever present in the team since.
And from Longford's B team, Athlone Town.
Kieran, you're making a bad start to this.
John, look at the amount of ex-Longford players in there, though, in all seriousness. So you have Rhys Gorman, Darren Meenan, Kaleem Simons in there, Aaron Brilli, even their goalkeeping coach, Aaron Shanahan, played for the town many moons ago. So,
yeah, but anyway, from the Athlone camp, we are going to be speaking to Terry Butler.
Yeah, Terry Butler, Athlone Town manager. It's been a fantastic start to the season for the blue and black side of the Midlands Divide. We're looking forward to speaking to Terry later on in the show.
Kieran, nobody saw what was coming with Athlone this season. I mean, what an amazing start. And going to Bray and winning last weekend is some result.
Yeah, I did say to you that when I was at the Cabinteely game recently, Longford Cabinteely, some Cabo fans had said to me that they weren't impressed by Bray and they could see Athlone giving them a game. But again, don't think anybody saw that result coming. But look, we'll be speaking about the First Division results quite shortly. But let's go to the Premier, John, and we'll start at Turner's Cross again this week. An impressive 2-0 win for John Caulfield's men, this time over Bohemians.
Yeah, and that's a really good result, because the Bohemians have got off to a decent start this season, and Cork had really stuttered. So then they really needed to start getting some wins on the board.
Again,
some 3 points.
Apologies to Bo's fans. I did predict to you last week
to get something
from the game. I said a draw. It's not gone well. So
you are not proving popular amongst our Bohemian fan base.
I better not go into the bar up there. I might be poisoned. But look, John, you're going to run us through the action.
Yeah, well, look, it could have been a different game, because there was a bit of an early shout for a Bohemian's penalty, but which wasn't given. But as far as I could see, it's probably the right decision.
Yeah, a little bit soft, I thought.
Yeah, and Bo's had the chances. Best one I saw was Mandrew. He blasted over when he was through.
Considering the screamers he scored already this season, that was certainly an easier one than some of the ones he scored.
Yeah, but it wasn't too long till Cork took the lead with a header from McCarty, and that made it 1-0. The second came from Dan Casey, a shot that sent Talbot the wrong way. And
massive deflection.
Didn't it remind you of that David De Gea one for Man United? Where
against
Xhaka. When he sent the wrong way.
I think it took a huge deflection, John. So I don't think you can have any question marks over the goalkeeper. Disappointing performance from Bohemians. But again, Cork City showing their dominance in the air and from set pieces. It's been a big factor in their play this season. So Cork grinding out a win, and they're starting to put a couple of wins together now, so maybe the doubters might start just getting silenced.
Yeah, I think that was a very important victory for Cork, because if the Bozard had gone there and got something, then, you know, we'd have been talking about, you know, Caulfield's future again. But yeah, they've done what they had to against Bose, and yeah, comfortable 2-0 win.
Bose, great start, just slightly slowing down now, slipped up with the home draw against Derry in a game they should have taken all 3 points, and they've suffered a defeat here, the first of the season to Cork, so they're going to be looking to bounce back big time when the Premier Division eventually resumes after this international break. But let's go to the next fixture. Dundalk with a 2-0 win on the road. This time the venue was the Brandywell, Derry City the hosts.
Yeah, and I think we both predicted this one. Derry, they had a chance early on.
They had a few chances in this game, John, and mostly from set pieces.
Yeah, and Cherry played well again. I know we criticised him before, but there was an early header from Slogger. He was put off by his own player. I thought he had a great, you know, great chance.
I actually thought Dundalk looked quite vulnerable from set pieces on the night. Not something you would have ever said about them in recent years with the likes of Gartland and Hoare back there. But I definitely think Derry turned up a couple of opportunities, and that was one of the early ones they certainly passed up. And had that gone in, could have been a different game.
Yeah, and as I said, Rogers, he was quite busy on the night. He had a few saves to make, but the save before that was a super save from Cherry. It was a point blank header from Hoban, and he did really well to keep that one out. The McNamee free, that was well saved by Rogers, but the opening goal came from, after a good work from Duffy on the left, from player you've been very impressed with so far this season, Sean Murray.
Yeah, big fan of Sean Murray. I was away for the League of Ireland action at the weekend, but obviously I've reviewed the highlights of all the games, and I did tweet while I was over in Scotland at the weekend as the scorelines and the goal scores were coming in, that even though it's very, very early in the season to be looking and talking about potential players of the season, I think Sean Murray's going to be right up there come the end of the year.
This is not unusual with you. You've either written teams off, you've got the player of the season, the goal of the season after about five games.
That was the goal of the season, not up for debate anyway, after the Cork game last week. But I think Murray, I've been really impressed with him, and usually when players come into this league, it takes them a while to settle, and I still don't think he's fully settled. I think we've got a lot more to come from this guy, and he's really impressed me. So I think watch this, mark my words, John. I think he's going to be right up there at the end of the year.
It's fair to say Dundalk had a sticky start, didn't it? And Murray wasn't in the team to start with. I remember that, and a couple of injuries got him in. And
I think it was the quality of this player. I think he was always going to break in there, but obviously the unfortunate injuries to Benton and to McElhenney has forced Vinnie Part's hand in terms of getting Murray in there a lot quicker than probably he has ever thought that might happen. But he's a quality player.
They're starting to look a bit more like the Dundalk of last season, aren't they now? So that's
to go and win in the Brandywell 2-0, it sends out a message to your rivals.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a warning shot to the rest of the league. But I have to say, Declan Devine must have been holding his head in his hands when Ali Gilchrist won the Ronnie Rosenthal Miss of the Year award. Blazed over from 3 yards. I don't even know how he missed it, Kieran.
No, and Dean Jarvis had a shocking miss himself late on in the game against his former club for Dundalk.
Well, he did. That was another sitter, wasn't it? After a Dundalk breakaway. When,
for me, that was the miss of the season.
Yeah, indeed. But let's have a look. Second half, it was impressive. Murray just continued to impress. He stroked wide. He had a chance.
He's great from long range.
Yeah. The second goal was a bit unfortunate. It was Cherry was injured when he brought down... it was Hoban, wasn't it? I think he more punched him, didn't he, rather than brought him down.
Would you say unfortunate, or would you say bad decision making from the goalkeeper? Because he's missed the ball by a long way.
He has. It's a little harsh, I mean, but he's injured in the process. Look, Hooman's got up, converted the penalty, 2-0. You talked about Dean Jarvis missing that sitter, and McNamee had a free kick saved late on. 2-0, right result.
Just about right, yeah. I think Derry close, but just not there in terms of their performance. Just slightly off on the night, and if you're slightly off at all against a team like Dundalk, they're going to punish you.
Yeah, they'll rue the missed chances. You can't afford to miss those chances against
just
Dundalk.
On Patrick Hooban, I thought he showed a lot of fire in the celebration when he scored. He's had a kind of frustrating start to the season, missing a lot of chances, so that could be a big goal for him now. Could get him on a real firing streak now. But a great win for Dundalk on the road, and we'll move on to our next
fixture. He'll be disappointed to have missed out on the Ireland squad. Don't be, you know, if he'd carried on his form from last season, then he'd have been really, really hammering to get into the Ireland squad.
Yes, still early days, I suppose, so that's why now it's crucial at this stage of the season to get a run of goals going, and with fixtures coming up now, if Ireland were to maybe struggle for goals or pick up injuries, they could look and say, well, this guy for Dundalk is banging them in. Yeah. Maybe we should bring him into a squad.
And when you look at the strikers that were picked in that provisional squad, you know, you're talking about, I know Porrick Allen's done great in the cup, but at the end of the day, he still play for Newport County. You know, he will have been disappointed Pat Hoban with that.
Yeah, good point, John. Moving along, UCD, comprehensive 3-0 winners against Harps. I have to say, for me, this was the result of the weekend. I was extremely impressed with UCD's performance.
They were very good. And I mean, we had this as a real basement battle, didn't we? And the signs were there early on when Coffey shot wide. And Gallagher, he saved well on a couple of occasions to keep it 0-0 in the first half.
Yeah, Gallagher's reclaimed his number one jersey. Obviously, it was Peter Burke in there for the start of the season, and I was raving about Peter Burke to you recently on the show here, John, that I think he's a very high potential goalkeeper, but he has made a couple of mistakes in recent weeks. And Ollie Horgan, he's got an experienced number two there, so he wasn't afraid to get him back into the team, and I think he was proven right with Gallagher's performance in this game.
Yeah, he's two good keepers there, aren't
they? Yeah, he's lucky to have two good keepers.
Yeah. Keelan McAleer, he shot at the goalkeeper, and after that, well, I don't know if you saw Gary O'Neill's shot, but that nearly broke the crossbar from the free
kick. I love the action
what
he got
a
on
hit.
It. Sliced through the ball. It was a brilliant technique.
But, you know, it was coming, and UCD opened the scoring through Malloy on a rebound to make it 1-0. Richie O'Farrell, neat finish to make it 2. And he actually got the third as well with his second late on. 3-0.
Yeah,
and
a player,
you can't say that wasn't undeserved because they played really well.
He's a player I highlight to you, Richie O'Farrell, in pre-season. A lot of big reports coming about him. And he started the season quite well for UCD. I thought their style of football was excellent, even though results haven't been going their way lately. Excuse me, Colly O'Neill refused to shy away and maybe go more direct. Kept the ball on the deck on what was a poor surface again, John. I'm sure you noticed that on the highlights.
Sure,
but didn't deter UCD from their style of play at all. They kept it on the deck. They passed Harps to death and deserved 3-0 win.
Yeah, and UCD needed a win, Kieran. Yeah. They desperately did. Yeah, it's difficult when you're promoted, you know, and then you have a stuttering start and you can't get a win. And the longer it goes on, you're thinking, oh, God, will it ever happen?
And we spoke on last week's show about the pressure that's on Conor Davis' shoulder to get the goals. He was actually out injured for this one.
He was, Yo-Yo played up front.
Yeah, and he played
very well.
So maybe now Colly O'Neill has by default found a winning formula going forward, and Conor Davis might get a hard to get back into this team. So it's really, really interesting, this result. But for Harps, you've got to be worried by that. But I think these head-to-head showdowns between UCD and Harps are going to have a big bearing on who stays up this season.
But it was very one-sided, Kieran, was that. So
you've got UCD with the home advantage, so let's see when Harps play their game now in Ballybuffet, can they use the home advantage to their advantage? But look, moving along, this was, again, one of the big results of the weekend for me. Waterford 2-0 winners over St. Pat's at the RSC.
Kieran, I'm concerned for St. Pat's. It's a worrying start. They've not got going. What's not working there in your idea? Your mind.
It's interesting. We kind of spoke about Pats last week on the show and their slow start to the season despite the players they've brought in. And when I was over in Scotland at the weekend, I got a text off a good friend of mine, Andy, that goes to the St. Pat's games. And he'd be a very positive kind of guy. And he said to me, he's listening to the show every week and really, really enjoying it. But he said, you know me, I'm a really optimistic guy, but we're playing worse football at the moment at Pats than we were.
Am I going to have to get the bleep machine out?
No. He's quite good with his words. But he said, we're playing worse football at the moment than we were in the season a couple of years ago where we nearly went down. And Killian Brennan came in and kept us up.
You wouldn't associate that with Harry Kenny, would you?
No. And just reading through the forums today and stuff, reading on Pats, people seem to reckon that he just hasn't put any type of style of play in a Pats. He's just thrown out the players. Now, again, I'm not saying this is the case. This is simply what I was reading online, that he's just throwing the players out and hoping something's going to work and going to click. But certainly, it's very, very surprising with the players they have on their books that they're showing so little in attack.
Do you know what's worrying me? You've got the basis of a really good team, but I'm going back to players making mistakes, individual mistakes. And Kevin Toner, for one, seems to me he makes an awful lot of mistakes.
Is making a lot of mistakes. When he's playing well, he's a very, very good defender. Yeah, but when he's not playing well, which he hasn't been the last couple of games, he can be caught out very, very badly, as he was in this game.
And, you know, he's had a season now.
Yeah.
How long do you give a player like
exactly,
that, Kieran?
Yeah, I'm glad you've brought that up, because that certainly came to my mind when I was watching the highlights of this game. He hasn't been in good form for a number of weeks now. He's very prone to these individual mistakes. He's prone to ill discipline at times too. You know, when does the manager say enough's enough and we're going to give you a break from the starting 11?
Yeah, because to me, you look at the St. Pat's team on paper. Great on paper. Everything can look great on paper. You know, you've two great flying attacking fullbacks. You've got potentially one of the best midfields in the league. And strikers that can score goals, but it's just not working.
If we're talking about players like Toner, maybe their position been questioned in this team, do you then have to look at someone like Forrester that's come back? He hasn't clicked. He hasn't delivered yet.
Yeah.
How long do you give him? And do you drop him? Because if you drop him, he's not going to find his groove. But you can't then justify keeping a player in the team that's not performing either. It's a big dilemma now for Harry Kenny.
Yeah, and it's a bit perplexing to me because I think we talked about this last week when Forrester went over to Peterborough. He was a revelation to start with.
Captain.
People were clamouring for him to get into the Ireland squad, and it never quite happened. And for whatever reason, fell out of favour there, went up to Scotland. He's ended back over here. It's the same kind of story that we talked about with other players coming back over to Ireland after maybe looking good straight away over in England and then maybe falling away. I'm thinking the likes of Conor Clifford. I'm thinking the likes of fellows up front for Sligo. Previous season.
Carry on.
Yeah. I can't even remember his name. That's terrible, isn't it? But, you know, you just wonder whether what's going on there with Forrester.
I have the guy from Sligo now, but yeah, he was with Liverpool previously.
That's right, yeah.
The next Robbie Fowler, I think he was
there. That's exactly, yeah. And we can't remember his name. No. How good's that?
Listeners, Kieran? Drop us a tweet. Tell us.
Adam Morgan. You don't need listeners.
There we go. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, look, let's talk about the game. Clark made some decent saves early on. He saved one particular from Twine that was really good. But it was Aaron Drinan, that man, he signed on loan, I believe, from Ipswich.
Yeah, looks to be a good addition because, as we said off air, John, Akinade still not delivering the goals. As honest as his performances are, he may be creating goals for other players. He's a striker, his job's to put the ball in the net, and he hasn't done it since he arrived at Waterford last year. So having Drinan come in, it's a big pressure off Akinade's shoulders.
Yeah, very limited amount of goals, actually, Akinade. Yeah, you're going to have to question that. Another signing that did play well, Ebo Zeddy. He's hit the post. He should have scored.
Yeah.
But
he's been very impressive.
The chances fell to Drinan again second half. He headed over, but he made no mistake when he got his second after another Toner mistake. We've talked about him there, haven't we? Mikey Drinan scored with a follow-up, but he was offside.
I've seen an alternative angle of that. Their highlights package, definitely not offside. I'm sure everyone is aware of Dodge, the big Pats fan on Twitter, and he had a couple of tweets up about the refereeing performance down there the other night, and having reviewed some of the footage, some very, very poor decisions going against St. Pat's on the night, but I still think their performance was well short of what should be expected for the calibre of player that's come in there.
Look, we'll move on because we've talked.
Just a final point on Pat's, John. Listeners, St. Pat's fans, do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear your views on what is going wrong at St. Pat's. And is it too early in the season if these results are to continue over the next couple of weeks? Will pressure start to mount on the manager there? We'd love to get your views. So you can get us on Twitter at Between Stripes. We're on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. And you can even get us on email, BetweenTheStripes1924@gmail.com. So please do get in touch with us because we really love to hear your views on the Saints this season. But John, Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers was the big battle, and it was Shamrock Rovers, the Dublin club, that came out on top comprehensively 3-0.
Absolute one-way ticket this one, and it was the Jack Byrne show, and this performance earned him a call up to the national squad, Kieran.
He was absolutely fantastic. I'd seen him in action against Dundalk. Very, very out of the game, wasn't really involved, but my God, he came to life the other night.
Kieran, he was the centre of everything good for Rovers, was Jack Byrne, and he had a super game, and no wonder he got called up. He was outstanding.
We've all seen these midfield players that can sit deep and pass square and pass backwards and have 100% completion rate at the end of the game and look good. His passes were so incisive. He was slicing Sligo Rovers open with passes you couldn't even see from the stands, but somehow he was able to see it, and he was cutting them open for fun. It was absolutely fabulous to watch, and he got a great goal as well on the night.
Yeah, and I know you can sometimes accuse the Republic of Ireland management of, you know, a bit of tokenism when going to see League of Ireland matches, but you know, this one, they've seen a performance from Jack Byrne and they've said, this lad's got to be in the squad at least. We've got to take a closer look at him in training. And, you know, that's a positive for the league. But, he was outstanding against, well, I have to say, very poor opposition. But we'll talk about Sligo in a minute.
We will speak about that.
Yeah, Jack Byrne, anyway, he passed to O'Brien. He couldn't convert early on. He then set up Aaron Green. He scored, but the offside flag denied him. Then Byrne himself, he had an effort tipped over by Mitchell Beeney in the Sligo goal. First goal came from Jack Byrne's corner. It was converted by Dan Carr at the back post, 1-0, trademark celebrations. And second half, Daniel Carr shot wide. I still think he can work on his finishing, Kieran.
He was playing wide again the other night, which I wouldn't be in favour of, but definitely can work on his finishing.
Yeah, and he had a bad miss wide, actually, after another great team move.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying about Rovers. They're starting to look really good.
They started to string a couple of those really impressive team moves together in the last couple of weeks. And as you said, the finish hasn't always been there at the end of it, but some really good football from Rovers in recent weeks.
Yeah. Rare Sligo attack where Coughlin headed over. They're going to need to see him start scoring some goals.
Yeah, that cross came from your man Twardek.
I have at the end a note on Twardek, because I have to say Sligo were awful apart from Twardek. Finn made it 2-0 with a follow-up effort. Aaron Green was a little bit unlucky just to find the wrong side of the post for a third, but the third, when it did come, was an outstanding finish by that man Jack Byrne.
Beautiful.
Curled into the corner. Perfect finish. And as far as I'm concerned, Kieran, this could, if Shamrock Rovers have had the shooting boots, that could have been an annihilation. They had chance after chance.
Let's speak about Sligo Rovers now. I took a bit of stick after my comments last week that they've had a slow start to the season, that I wasn't impressed by them. And a couple of Twitter users got in touch and they were saying, oh, the performance in Oriel.
I would defend them with the performance of Parks recently.
This is what I've been pointing to for a long time. They've tried to build from the back, fair enough, and with the fixtures they had at the start, that was probably the best and only way to go. But Liam Buckley pointed out in several interviews after those games that it was time for them to start working on their ball retention skills and building that style of play we've always associated with Liam Buckley's teams. They haven't been able to do that, and I can safely say he looks like a frustrated man, because I think he knows himself it isn't going to plan at the moment. I'm not sure if he has the players there. We've picked out a couple of promising players, the likes of Twardek there. I'm not sure overall if they have the players, Sligo, to be up anywhere near the top half this season.
I said this before, Kieran. I'm not sure he's happy there, Buckley.
Well, only he knows that. But he can't be happy with the way his team is performing at the moment. With results like this...
I have nothing to base that on. It's just a hunch.
Yeah. With results like this, it's a very passionate fan base down there. We'll have to see, if results were to come at home like this, what type of reaction he might get from the fans. Look, it's a lot of hearsay at the moment, but... this performance was unacceptable from Sligo. It was an absolutely rotten performance, and it needs to improve big time.
All credit to Shamrock Rovers, though. They gave Sligo nothing. They were outstanding on the night, Kieran.
They were absolutely fantastic, not taking anything away from Stephen Bradley's team, who, as you said, have been cranking up gear by gear over the last few weeks. But Sligo made it very, very easy for them on the night. And you'd have to wonder now, Sligo Rovers, are they going to be in a relegation battle again this season?
Well, I think so. They need to... Pick the performances up a lot quicker than they are at the moment, because that was pretty abysmal, Kieran.
Let's move along to the first division review, John. We'll have our first interview of the night with Terry Butler, the Athlone Town manager, coming up shortly. Just to mention, Longford Town against Galway United was postponed on Saturday night.
You took a bit of criticism about the state of the pitch in various places, didn't you?
I enjoyed that one, I have to say. But
I have to say, there was no way. I mean, you could have played an underwater match. The rain was horrendous. No way could Town get that played.
Well, when I got the text over in Scotland to say the game was off, I'm sorry, but I was delighted.
I'm sure you were. Yeah, I wasn't.
Let's go to the first one, though. This was a huge result, and it's one that I had a hunch might happen last week, John, when I was speaking to you.
Yeah.
Drogheda United beaten 4-1 at home by Cabinteely, a Rob Manley hat-trick in this game.
Yeah, you've been impressed with this lad, haven't you, Rob Manley?
He's big, he's fast, and he can finish. What more do you want in a centre forward, really?
And he put Cabo 3-0 up before Drogheda even got anything on the board. Pulled one back through Mark Hughes, but an own goal finished it off as a contest forward. Awful result for Drogheda. Poor start to the season.
What have you made of their start? Because they didn't lose a lot of their players now. They did lose Kelly, they did lose their other full-back. McCaffrey is gone. Maybe, is there a potential, I wonder, for him to go back there after what's happened at loan? But...
well, if I was the Drogheda manager, I'd be knocking down his door
because
to get
him
playing.
Had no issue last season in scoring goals. They were scoring goals for fun. They were among the highest scorers in the division. This season, they can't seem to get anything going in attack. We've seen that ourselves when they played Longford. They were absolutely abysmal in their final ball against Longford when they went down 3-0. And Cabinteely have gone to United Park and they've done a right drob. Drog? They've done a right drog on Drogheda.
Stop laughing. It's not looking good at Drogheda. You had the controversy over the ticket prices, the performance.
And another poor crowd here.
I'm not surprised. I mean, that's a crazy price. You're pricing your customers out of the match. Yeah. You know, it's not on Drogheda. The board needs to wake up and get the prices right.
Especially if their team is going to be playing football like this. How many people are going to turn up and watch that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking back to that second half against Longford. They were abysmal. Terrible. Absolutely abysmal. Yeah. So there's lots of work to do there. But fair play, Cabo, written off by many, including us, early on in the season, but they're doing really well.
And I mean, look at the teams they've played in recent weeks, John. They've got results against the likes of Longford. They've gone now and beaten Drogheda. They've given some of the big teams a game. Even when they went down to Bray, I know from speaking to Cabo fans, they said it wasn't a 3-0 scoreline on the night. So Cabo, really impressive start to the season. I think Manly has added a huge amount there. I really do, because there was so much pressure on the shoulders of Marty Waters until Manly arrived into that team. And he's been a great addition. But
maybe Longford should have signed both Manlys.
Yeah, well, maybe Joe can have a word with Rob. Yeah. But look, that's a fantastic result for Cabinteely. And they'll be looking to follow it up now when they host Limerick. That's a real chance to go and get two victories on the bounce. So great start for Cabinteely. Do you think they can be playoff contenders?
Oh, well, at the start of the season, I'd have laughed at you, really, if you'd have suggested it with a, you know, what looked
I mean, they've
like
got a great goalkeeper in McGuinness. They've got two really solid centre-halves. Paul Massey has been playing there, and he's played really well at full-back. We've got Marty Waters, you've got Manley, you've got Watson in midfield. There's some really, really nice players there.
Yeah, there's an outside chance. There's an outside chance, you know, especially if some of the teams that we're looking at and picking up the points that we thought they might. So, you know, you look at Galway struggling, Limerick maybe struggling a little bit, Cove out the question. Who knows? Why not?
Positive start, and good to see the crowd slowly creeping up as well. They're trying their best there, Cabo off the field, to try and get things right. Let's hope the pitch is a little bit better this weekend when they host Limerick, but really good start for Cabinteely. Let's move along to the next one, John. Limerick, 3-1 winners over Cove. Were you surprised by this result at all?
No, I wasn't, Kieran, because I think I tipped them, because I'm concerned about Cove this season. I know they had that great win the other week, but
they did turn this result, though, in the League Cup the other night. They beat Limerick by, I think it was 2-1, or it could have even been 3-1, but they definitely turned that result around.
Kieran, I'm not interested in the League Cup. No, genuinely, I'm not. I don't think there's any point in it, really. There's no European place at the end of it. So, you know, what is there to aim for?
Well, let's actually just break away from our First Division review for a second then, because there was a couple of fan questions sent in. And apologies, I can't remember who sent this one in, but there was a question regarding League Cup fixtures and travel. And one of the points made was that Galway have to travel to Waterford, I think it is, I'm right in saying, on a Monday night in the League Cup. And obviously you have Longford that have to go up to Derry. Both First Division part-time clubs going to play against Premier Division clubs and long distance. Do you agree with that?
Do you know what I'd do, Kieran? I'd send the under-19s. I just don't think it's worth sending your first team out, risking injuries for the EA Sports Cup. I don't think it is, Kieran.
I would agree with you. I would have to agree with you. And I don't like degrading competitions because while it's obviously not as prestigious as the FAI Cup, it's still a major piece of silverware. And if Longford Town were to go and win it, I'd be absolutely over the moon.
Yeah.
But no, I can totally see your point
Throw a European place into it. Or, you know, maybe they will. Now we're talking about the change in European structures with the extra competition. Maybe they will. Because that would rejuvenate that competition. Then it'd make it worthwhile sending your teams up to the likes of Derry on a Monday night. But, you know, it's poor scheduling, though, isn't it? I mean, it's a long way to go, and it makes it very, very difficult for fans. But then again, you know,
what else can you do in terms of scheduling?
Well, I know, and this is why teams are going to treat it as a second-rate competition.
From looking at the draws, they have been regionalised to a certain point, but obviously there's only so many teams in it, so you're going to have the odd numbers where the likes of Longford are going to draw Derry. So not a lot you can do, really.
No.
Apart from, as you say, send your under-19s.
Yeah, and I'm sure Longford Town won't be sending the first choice team up to Derry.
But back to this result, Limerick 3, Cove 1. Great result for Limerick to get things kicking off at home, because they had a very slow start up until now.
Again, a team that desperately needed a win on the board, and they've got it here against Cove. Cove Cabaya scored again for Limerick, 2 from Hanlon and 1 from from Conor Ellis, who's always going to be a threat in this division.
Yeah, another small crowd, but hopefully now after that, the fans might start coming back.
I hope so. It's not a bad place to go and watch some football,
is it? It's a nice place to go and watch football. Yeah. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of their manager as well. I think a good character, and we'll have to get him on the show soon, Tommy Barrett. But look, we'll move along. Disappointing result for Cove, though. Shelburne 3-0 winners against Wexford.
Well, you had this game sus, didn't you? You said it's going to be one of those games. I can nearly quote you. It's going to be one of those games. They're going to struggle. It might be 0-0 at halftime and it'll end up 3-0 when everybody's expecting a cricket score.
Yeah, I think I said something
score.
Like 65, 75 and maybe 90. And I wasn't far off with
no,
my fingers.
No, I tell you what, you couldn't have got much closer. You should have had a few quid on that one, Kieran.
Any chance of a point in the prediction game for that one?
Nope.
Nah, okay.
No, you, to be honest, you normally cheat, Kieran, so I'm amazed you didn't,
well, that is
you didn't
true.
Point yourself
they always
a few
cheat,
points.
They always lie.
Yeah, Kieran Burke, the FAI man of the podcasts. But look, Shell Street, Wexford nil. Second half goals for Darren Noon, Ryan Brennan and Dan Byrne. Put Peter Waterford, Wexford. Waterford? God almighty, we're having a great podcast tonight, aren't we? Wexford, yeah. So all second half goals and... yeah, Shells will be delighted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, from a Wexford point of view, you probably take a bit of heart from the fact you held Shells at home till 0-0 at half time, and obviously just their bit of quality has shone through in the end, but something to build on for Wexford?
I don't think so, no Kieran. No, you still lost 3-0. You can't get excited about that.
That is fair enough. Moving along, Bray Wanderers, who are Wexford's next opponents in the First Division, they suffered probably the shock result of the weekend, bar that Cabinteely one in the First Division. Bray going down 1-0 at home to Athlone Town.
Nobody predicted this one. And I'd say the odds were huge on this, because for Athlone's good start, you still thought going to Bray, you know, the players that Bray have brought in, it should be pretty one-sided victory for Bray. Anything but fair play to Terry Butler. He's done a great job there, and they're joint top with this win.
Yeah, and we'll be hearing from Terry now any second. It was Aaron Brilley, the former Longford Town man, that got the goal, and he's a player I really like at Athlone. I've always said that I think he should be playing, without any disrespect to Athlone, I think he should be playing at a higher level.
And the good thing about Brilley is he chips in with a few goals, doesn't he? You know, he's not one of them players.
Very versatile as well. Can play fullback, can play that defensive midfield role. But as you said there, chips in with goals too.
He does, yeah. And I remember him scoring against Longford last season.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few goals in him as well. So, yeah, look, they look good so far. And I'm impressed with the job that Terry's done there. Because if you think of where Athlone were last season, all that means you're set up, no wins in the league... Hopeless on it, hopeless off it. You know,
we haven't heard even the slightest whisper of negativity coming out of the club or anything like that. It's been all positivity. Crowds going up, new pitch, new players coming in, great results. It's really, really good, and it's all going to come to a head in this Midlands derby.
I have to say, Kieran, and I know they're our rivals, but I'm delighted to see it because it makes... A very, very
We've spent
match.
All week as fans getting excited for this game on Friday, whereas last year you rocked up 5 minutes before kickoff and it was a friendly match.
Yes,
it essentially was a friendly match.
It was a walkover, Kieran. Yeah. Never mind a friendly match.
7-1 scoreline.
Yeah.
So it's great and it should be a fantastic occasion, and I really, really hope, in the back of my mind, I'm hoping that maybe it can break the 1,000 mark, because 700 at their last home game, you're probably looking at maybe 200-250 Longford fans going over.
I would love it if that was to happen, as Kevin Keegan once said.
Great publicity for the First Division and for both Midlands clubs. But look, let's go to our first interview of the night. It's the Athlone Town manager Terry Butler ahead of Friday's El Clasico de Midlands. So I'm delighted to say Athlone Town manager Terry Butler joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast now ahead of a huge Midlands derby this Friday night in the First Division. Terry, you're welcome to the show.
Hi guys, how are you?
So Terry, huge week coming up for both clubs in the Midlands. It's El Clasico, as it's known in these parts. Athlone Town hosting Longford Town in a huge First Division game. But you must be very pleased with the start your team has made this season.
Yeah. Get something down there, and Ray last Friday night was good, and we performed pretty well against Shell as well, by the way. So yeah, it's been really a positive start.
Yeah, I don't think many were expecting you to win at the weekend there. That was fantastic results for you.
Yeah, it was good. Look, we weathered a lot of storm probably in the last 15-20 minutes. We defended very, very good, but I think on the night we just got the 3 points.
And I think a lot of people were surprised at the start of the season with the recruitment that Athlone made. You know, some real big names you signed up. You know, we're talking title winners, Darren Meenan and Reece Gorman. You know, after being an all amateur setup last season, how did you manage to attract these types of players to the club?
Well, I think last year, you know, the club looking at was the, you know, probably get the finances in order. You know, stuff that was going on around was put behind us. The introduction to the new Astro pitch. Left in a good place going forward this year, so we couldn't start going to meet players, which we probably started out recruiting in, started in November, when I put a few few players, and during the time we just spoke to him about what we were trying to do, the way the club wanted to go forward. The facilities obviously second to none down there with an Astro pitch, and once we got one or two on board, then people saying that we were trying to go business right this year, so they bought into what we were doing.
Yeah, I think it's a case of once you get one or two in place, the rest follow, isn't it? But you were mentioning the pitch there, Terry. What difference is that making this season?
I mean, it's great. The condition of the pitch, brand new, 400,000 euro 4G pitch. You can play one very good strike of football on it. No longer as much as off last Saturday night due to the weather. Thank God you don't have them problems. Training wise as well, it's great,
And it's great to see crowds coming back. 700 the last match.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we're pulling the crowds back in. I think we're probably playing a nice brand of football. Some local talent in the squad as well. Which helps as well. Great academy there, and some really good players coming through.
Yeah, and look, hopefully we might push on 7, 8, 900 possibly for this derby at the weekend, because obviously Longford will be expected to bring a huge travelling support with them. But Terry, it's a first chance for Athlone to get a win over Longford since 2013. Obviously, it's a different group of players, a different set of management, but in terms of just something to get off the club's back, I suppose, it's a great opportunity to go and crush that record now.
Yeah, well, look, we're in an opportunity this year where I see that we can compete, obviously, a bit better. Keep saying that we're not going to get carried away. We'll just take one game at a time. We have, obviously, as you said, signed some very decent players, which obviously helps. The younger players we have in the squad as well. I mean, take the experience of Darren Heenan and Reese, Shane, Keelan, even young Dean Casey, Kaleem, Lloyd Buckley, all being, very good, very good at training, really helping the players on. And also, we built a whole new squad, really. I think there's only five left from the 22 from last year.
Yeah, so I know you're saying you're not getting too carried away, but are we talking about the P word, promotion? Do you think it's a possibility this season with the squad you've got?
No, look, our aim this year is just to obviously start improving on where we were last year, and I see a working project going forward, and as I said, we've had a good start. I mean, after a long way to go, we're only in for our fifth game of the season, so there's no way of even dreaming of aspirations that way.
Well, and final thing I wanted to ask you was about Gareth McCaffrey, big signing at the beginning of the season. When are we likely to see him in Athlone shirts?
Well, unfortunately, what happened was Gareth got a new job, and we just had to move on. Wasn't really suitable for us. Either of us, really. It was unfortunate. I was looking forward to working with Gareth, but obviously paying bills and new work comes first.
So just to confirm, Terry, he's no longer with that Lone Town Football Club, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Look, Terry, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us. As I said there, for our listeners in the Midlands, this is a great game, a great occasion coming up at the weekend. So we'd ask everyone to get out and support their respective Midland clubs. And it should be a great occasion nonetheless.
And we have live commentary as well from the match.
Yeah, here, live commentary coming up on Between the Stripes on our Mixlr account as well. So, Terry, thanks very much for joining us. And best wishes for Friday night, even though it's a couple of Longford Town fans here, of course, hosting this podcast.
Thanks,
Terry.
Thanks, Terry. That was great. Thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum, and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So fantastic to get the blue and black perspective ahead of this Friday's El Clasico, and we'll be previewing that game shortly, as well as hearing from Longford Town's Ed Irvine. John, before we do that though, let's go to our fan questions. Absolutely fantastic to get some questions in from our listeners on Twitter during the day. At Between Stripes is our Twitter handle if you want to give us a follow. That Galway question I asked you about in terms of the League Cup, it was Daniel Delaney that sent that one in, so thanks very much, Daniel.
Can I ask about Waterford as well? He's not Damien's brother, is he, or anything?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's the game. He was saying Galway travelling down to Waterford on Monday. And then obviously I mentioned Longford going up to Derry. So thanks for that, Daniel.
Good man, Daniel.
David sent in a request. Can you give me a shout out on the show? Huge League of Ireland fan living in the States. I miss it a lot. So to David, McGivalry. I hope I said that right.
Look, that's great. International audience, Kieran.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, to promote the league far and wide. So, David, thanks very much for tuning in from the States. You'd be surprised, John, when you go into the stats, the amount of overseas listeners we do get. And I'm hoping it'll be the same case for our live commentary this weekend, that we'll have plenty of overseas fans tuning in. Bernard D, so that's at Bernard JKD. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with him, a very passionate Shamrock Rovers fan.
Yeah.
Wants us to talk about the highlights situation for next week. Obviously, with every Premier Division game, bar Finn Harps against Shamrock Rovers, has been postponed due to the international call-ups across the league. He wants us to talk about the possibility of why RTE could not show First Division highlights this weekend.
Well, what are they going to show, Kieran? That's the thing.
They have scheduled something else, some crap, I don't know. some crap we pay a license fee for, but it's certainly not League of Ireland First Division highlights.
They're never going to show it, Kieran. It's as simple as that. And it's such a shame, because what great matches we've got this weekend. And it would be lovely to be able to have a look at, you know, have a look at Galway against Drogheda and, you know,
it would, John, but
the El Clasico.
Yeah, but what good would a one-off show be? Like, it's just a little token gesture. For me, the clubs need to do more themselves in this regard. I really think online is the way to go, as we've seen now with the highlights going out. I mean, you just have to look at that Morrissey screamer last week, and it got over 300,000 views the last time I checked.
Yeah, that's right.
Why the clubs can't get together themselves or even get a third party involved and try and get an online First Division's highlight show going and post it on YouTube every Sunday morning and let it go from there.
Look,
interviews with the managers post, it would not be hard to do. It would not cost a penny bar. Maybe some clubs might need to get some. That's the biggest issue, is getting volunteers involved in terms of getting people to actually record the games. Because I did speak to a couple of First Division clubs about this possibility, and a lot of them find it very, very difficult to get people to record their games. But that's where third level education comes in, and trying to form links with colleges and even TY students these days. What they can do on computers is crazy.
Yeah, great work experience job, yeah. I think, is that.
It would be good for a young TY student or a first-year college student on their CV, you know.
But I mean, realistically, we're talking about, you know, League of Ireland. It's the second division in Ireland, you know. There should be
cameras this
weekend.
But look, RTE aren't going to show up. They're not going to show up. They're never going to show up.
No.
Whether there was interest from maybe Virgin or Air Sport or someone to come in and show up, I don't think so, given the attendances in the first division. Is the interest there? Then you have the argument as well of certain grounds. Are they up to Nick? Where would you put a camera in Stradbroke?
Yeah, I think you just, with that whole TV deal is another long, long debate, and we've talked about that, haven't we? And hopefully,
but why do we always have to accept the fact that that's the way the TV deal is, and this is the way that is, and this isn't going to happen? Why can't we look for an alternative, like an online package?
Doesn't this come back down to the way, you know, the FAI look at the first division?
We look at the entire league.
There's two hoots about it, mate. Yeah. So
they don't give a hoot about the top division, never mind the second tier. Let's call a spade. And we'll be speaking later on about the latest controversy to engulf our glorious leader. But look, let's move along, John. As far as I know, that was it for this week from listeners. So thanks for getting those questions in. We really do appreciate it. You can get us, as I said, on at Between Stripes. But let's move along to our St. Mel's Brewing prediction game for this weekend. And we'll start with that sole game in the Premier Division. Finn Harps hosting Shamrock Rovers.
Chance here for Rovers to go 7 points clear at the top of this early part of the season, yeah, Kieran. And I can't see a reason why they can't do it. They're on fire at the moment. Everything seems to be working for them. The midfield's clicking. The way they're playing is excellent. I can't see anything other than a Rovers win here.
I can't get excited about this fixture at all, John, because it only seems like last night that these two teams played each other.
Mm.
So absolutely ridiculous schedule, and once again, obviously Harps, it's a very tight pitch. They've brought it in this season, so that beautiful football Rovers are playing, will they find it a lot more congested? I think they will. I think Harps could be a stubborn opponent to break down, but with the quality Rovers have in that side, and you've got to say kudos to Shamrock Rovers for going ahead and playing this game without two of their top men who have been called up for international duty. So they're obviously, as you've mentioned, they have an opportunity to go 7 points clear. They're not going to pass that up. So I think fair play to Shamrock Rovers for taking up that chance. I think it's going to work in their favour. I think they'll get a 2-0 win.
Yeah, 3-1 I think for me, because I think Matt Harps probably get a goal from a set piece or something. That's the very good. But that's a big lead at this start of the season, Kieran. And then you'll find other teams are always trying to catch up.
Mm.
They may have game in hands, but if they get a draw instead of a win, you know, it's a big gap so early on.
Then again, if you're good enough, if you have the quality, you will make up them points if you have the games in hand. Because I think back to 2014, I think Longford had three games in hand on Shelburne and they were something like 11 points behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and won those three games, got ahead, and after that they put a 12 or 13 match winning streak ahead,
yeah,
and never looked back. So no. Far from defining in terms of a title race, but as you said, to get 7 points up this early on the season and playing the way
I know
they're
what position I'd rather be in, Kieran.
Yeah, 100% yeah. agree. Yeah. So we're both going for Shamrock Rovers wins there, but let's see, can Ollie Horgan prove us wrong? But I think I'm right in saying Ollie is suspended this weekend, along with his assistant.
Me.
So, we'll have to see what happens there. Cove against Shell is in the first division.
Right, okay, well, it looks pretty straightforward to me. Cove.
It does, but these are the sort of games where Cove are going to up their game because they're the underdogs. You've got the big, the money club of the first division coming to town, you know.
Yeah, they can up it all they want. I think Shells will still win this one, Kieran.
Yeah, I would have to agree, but maybe, again, like that Wexford game, it mightn't just be as straightforward as people think.
Mm.
Galway United against Drogheda.
Yeah, well, neither side pulling up too many trees so far. But I think Galway at home should just about edge this. I'll go with a Galway win.
How much would Drogheda like to have Vinnie Fatterdy in their side?
Oh, they would, wouldn't they? Just and yeah, they need some kind of striker or somebody that's going to score a few. But I think the problem is for Drogheda, they're not creating enough chances neither. So, you know, they could have Messi up front at the moment and they'd need to create a few more chances.
Yeah, I just go with Galway for this one, John, because I think they've just got the players at the top end of the field in form at the moment. They've had no issue scoring goals this season, even when results haven't gone their way.
Yeah.
Drogheda have much bigger issues than just not being able to put the ball in the back of the net. As you said, they're getting the ball up to the top men has been a huge issue.
Yeah.
Paul Skinner with another error at the weekend in their recent defeat as well. So I think that's a position they need to look at too.
Kieran, he's past his best, isn't he? Paul Skinner, I think it's way too much, a season too far for him.
I think he was past it a few seasons ago, but look, I don't want to be overly critical. Yeah. Wexford against Bray.
Look, I know Bray lost to Athlone last week, but look, Wexford. Long, hard season for them. Away win, Kieran.
As big of an upset as that win was for Athlone, it would just be 10 times magnified if Wexford could get anything from this game.
Yeah. Like you say, they had that little bit of promise first half against
the problem
Shells,
with a team like Wexford, with the start of the season they've had and the young players they have on their side, the lack of league rally experiences, if they concede an early goal, the whole thing falls apart. Whereas if in a game like they did against Shells, then keep it for 45 or 65. Even when you go one down, your head is still lifted. You're looking to think, well, maybe we can sniff out a set piece here. We can just stem this flow for 5 or 10 minutes. But when an early goal goes in, the heads drop. Then you find the 2, the 3s, the 4s. And as we've seen against Cove, the 6. So I'm afraid I don't know what the score is going to be, but I can't see it being anything other than a Bray win.
Yeah.
Cabin Teely against Limerick.
Impressed with Cabin Teely. Like you say, Manly's on absolute fire at the moment. Limerick, yeah, they got a win, but a win against Cove have struggled. I think I can't look too much further than Cabin Teely for this one, although, yeah, Cabin Teely, yeah.
I think the surface is going to go against Cabin Teely.
Yeah.
The home side, and everyone thinks of them as a bit of a direct side, which they do play a more direct style than some of the teams in the first division, but they've got players in there again that are very technical, the likes of Marty Waters, the likes of Watson in midfield. So I think that could go against them. I think this is going to be a very, very physical game. Two very physical sides. It's going to be a bit of a war of attrition. With the home advantage, I'm just going to tip Cabin Teely, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a share of the spoils come the end of the night.
Okie doke.
Let's go to our feature game of the night, John. It's Athlone Town against Longford Town in the El Clásico de Midlands.
Yeah, should be a good one, this. And I think the issue that Longford have is that if they lose this, they start to look a little bit off the pace already
this
season.
They can't lose this one because with that postponement now, they're behind with fixtures. There's a gap already to Athlone, which nobody would have expected at the start of the season. But more importantly, there's a gap to the top sides. Whereas if you're looking on the flip side of that, if Longford can get a win here, they're only a point behind with a game in hand. If they can go and win that, then they're flying.
Yeah, I think Neil Fennell rue a couple of these early drawn matches, you know, which I think he did, especially the Limerick game, you know, which in hindsight he'd have loved to have won that one. I don't think he can afford to go to Athlone and even get a point. I think Longford will win this, Kieran, because although Athlone
is that the heart or the head talking?
No, I think it's both, Kieran, because I think Athlone, for the good start, I just think they might be punching a little bit above their weight.
Really? Even with the players they've brought in?
Even with the players they've brought in, yeah. I think they might just be. And I think Longford will go there and beat them.
You've mentioned the results Longford have slipped up in the couple of draws. They came on very bad surfaces. This surface they should have absolutely no issue with. The only thing is they haven't played on this 4G surface before. So there can be a different bounce, a different pace on the ball from pitch to pitch. So maybe the first 10, 15 minutes, it might take Longford a while to settle. If Athlone could capitalise in that first 10 or 15 minutes, they've got a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of question marks over this game and the preparation and the build-up. Longford have had a postponement. How is that going to affect them? Are they going to be rusty or will they have enjoyed a break?
I think that's the kind of question we need to ask Aidan Durbin, isn't it?
Good shout. Ladies and gentlemen, final interview of the night. Delighted to say we've got the Longford Town midfielder on the line now. It's Aidan Durbin. So, Longford Town local midfielder Aidan Durbin joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast now. Aidan, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, lads, for having me.
So obviously you broke into the Longford Town team last season. Longford had quite a good record. They've had a very good record, in fact, in these derby games in recent years. Athlone haven't beaten Longford since 2013, since Roddy Collins' days at Athlone. But is it fair to say that this is the biggest derby in recent years? This is probably the biggest derby that you're going to play in as a Longford player. Is there some added pressure to this fixture?
Yeah, it's obvious that the last few years that Athlone haven't been really there. Thereabouts, but this year they seem to be a lot better than last year, and as you said, it's probably the biggest derby I've played in so far, so if that doesn't get me up for a football game, I don't know what will, so I'm just really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, and an added boost, of course, will be the travelling support. I'm sure it's going to go over. It's always Longford's biggest attended away game of the season, and you're probably looking at maybe a minimum of 150, 200 supporters going over, so I'm sure that's going to be a big boost for the players when they walk out in Lizzie Woolen.
Yeah, that's what we want, because I've heard that Lone have had a big few crowds this season, so we want to be louder than them, like, and have the setting of a derby game, because it's a huge game, especially for me being a local, and I know how big it is, so we want to beat them, and the only way we can do that is if you're behind us as well.
Just being the local player in the dressing room, would you ever speak to some of the other players in the dressing room about just how big of a game this is for local lads like yourself and for the fans, or is it well known how much this means?
They know as it is, like, they have a laugh about it and all that, like, but they know how big of a game it is, just like any game is, but they know there's something extra about this game for the fans and for me as well. Like, it's the biggest game of the season, especially because the rivalry back and the competitiveness is back from Athlone. It's a huge, huge game. I definitely don't want to lose it, and I don't think any of the lads want to lose it either.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to the atmosphere, because Athlone got over 700 in the last home game, which is completely different to what you'd have seen there last season.
Yeah, exactly. I remember playing against Athlone, and I don't think there was a fan there, so it'll be even sweeter beating them now in front of their 700 lads, so it'll be even better.
Does the postponement last weekend put you at a little bit of a disadvantage? Lack of game time, preparation, maybe that kind of thing?
No, we went in on Sunday morning, we went into DCU and we played a 90-minute game, we played 11v11, and it was very sharp, we all looked sharp, because we all want to play this game, like everybody, as I said, everybody knows how big the game is, and everybody wants to play it, so, no, we're ready for it, and I think this is the best preparation so far, even at training and yesterday, we were nice and sharp, so no, we're ready for it.
Very good, and you'll be playing on that nice brand new 4G pitch, bit of a change to the pitch you played on the other week at Cabinteely.
Yeah, you can play football in this one, but look, it's gonna be sort of the same game against Cabinteely. Like, it's gonna be competitive, and they're gonna come out with us as well. But at least we have a surface to play football on now, and that we can. There's no excuses really. If you get me, we shall be hopefully dominating the game and just beat them hopefully.
In terms of your own midfield role, it's probably your type of player. Maybe it's hard to put a certain tag on. You seem to cover nearly all of the midfield. I'd nearly liken you as a Spurs fan to Harry Winks. You kind of come deep and pick up the ball and link play from deep. What would you say is your best midfield role as a player?
I don't know really. Like, I don't mind where I play in the middle of the field. I don't mind where I play at all. But you've seen at the start of the season we were playing a diamond, and I was at the right of a diamond. I probably prefer playing in the 6 or the 8 where I can cover ground and I can run at people. That's probably my favourite, but as I don't really care as long as I'm playing, especially for Longford.
And I think, you know, as guys that have watched a lot of Longford Town, obviously, we've been a little bit surprised by lack of underage call-up. Do you think playing in the First Division hinders that a little bit, Aid?
Sorry, John, can you repeat that again,
Yeah,
please?
No problem. I was just saying we've been surprised by the lack of an international underage call-up, Aid. You know, bearing in mind we see you play week in, week out. I was thinking, do you think playing in the First Division hinders it somewhat, the chances?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to say with the new manager coming in as well now, so I don't know what way to depict it at all, but I remember the home base squad was announced, and I don't know, I was upset about it. Like, well, I wasn't upset, but I was disappointed that I didn't make it. But it drives you on, if you get me. It spurs you on, and it just make me better, and then I'll give them a headache, and hopefully I'll get into it at the end of the season anyways.
Yeah, big run of fixtures coming up for Longford now, so in terms of trying to be noticed for an international setup, like, you have some huge games coming up now. You have this derby game coming up, then there's games against Shells and Bray, so this is a huge run of fixtures now for Longford, and as John mentioned, with that recent postponement, Longford do have a game in hand on the teams above them, so a winning run here could really be crucial early on in the season.
Yeah, exactly, and to be honest, Kieran, I know who we're playing next week. I know we're playing whoever playing next week, but we're not really looking forward to games too much. We're taking it game by game. We've a loan now on Friday, and that's all we're thinking about. We haven't looked ahead. I haven't really looked at other results, being honest with you. But as you said, yeah, we need to get a winning run. We need to start winning games, or keep winning games, should I say, and just go for it this year, because I think we have the squad to do it, and we have the experience that we didn't have last season that might edge us over a few teams.
Yeah, I suppose the big signings like Conor Kenner and Paul O'Connor, they just add a bit more experience where maybe Tam were lacking a little bit last season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're still very young, but I think we were a lot younger last year. But you can see, like, maybe when you're playing, you can see how experienced they are. They help you, they talk to you, and it's not just me, it's for all the young lads. And I think that's what's going to spur us on this year, that we have that behind us, and we have players that know how to drive games on and stuff like that. So I think that will be a big factor.
There seems to be a good harmony in the dressing room, as you said, a good mixture of experience and youth players, but doesn't seem to be any bad eggs in the dressing room, I have to say, just from an outsider's point of view looking in.
No, it's probably funnier than last year. Like, Lee Stace is probably one of the funniest men I've ever met. Like, he's priceless. You have Jamie Hollywood, you've Sam, you've so many characters in there, like, and it's only good for the dressing room, because you respect each other more and stuff like that, and you want to keep going for it, and we'll spur each other on, and we know how to get to each other as well. We're very well gelled so far, to be fair.
Certainly no egos in there anyway, by the looks of things, which is always a positive.
No, that's the main thing. I think that's what's going to define us this year as well, because we've nothing, like, we all want to play for each other and that, and we've all something to play for, so no, there's no egos, thank God.
And you have a great manager in terms of motivating young players and putting systems in place, so you must be really enjoying working under Neil, and Dara Doyle as well seems to be very well respected among the players and the fans.
Yeah, like, when Alan was there, like, I wasn't getting a sniff, and I was only 16 at the time, but Neil came in and he's been brilliant to me. Like, he put me in probably the biggest crowd I've ever played in front of Waterford, like, and that's probably separated me from a few other younger players that have that experience. But Dara, the same. Dara's just always talking to him. They're always talking to him, pushing you on, and it's great to have, like, and it's great to have that as a young lad. Like, I'm only 19, and sometimes I forget it, but they keep you on your feet and they talk to you all the time, and it's great to have, though.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us. And a final reminder for our listeners that Between the Stripes Matchday Live comes live from Lizzie Woolen this Friday night. Myself and Ger Brilly on commentary from 7:30, and you can get that on mixler.com/Between the Stripes. Hey, we're really looking forward to seeing the derby game on Friday night. Best wishes, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks a million, man.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Kieran, you went fishing in that interview, I thought.
Did I?
Yeah, definitely.
In what type of way?
Well, you were asking about egos and the likes in the dressing room.
I wouldn't know anything about that, John.
I'm sure you wouldn't. Let's talk about the FAI controversy this week, Kieran.
The latest FAI controversy.
One of many, yes.
Well, what's your view on it?
Well, I think it's crazy. I can't believe he's still in a job, Delaney. I really can't.
John, how long are we saying that now? How many years are we saying that now?
Yeah, you all love him because he once bought you cans, though, don't
you?
No. Yes, you do.
Can I be serious for a minute? That is the problem with football in this country. And I tweeted this on my own Twitter account, @KieranBTS, if anyone wants to have a look. I tweeted that if this was the English FA, if this was the Spanish, the Italian, the Scottish, anything, the outcry over this would be absolutely, it'd be all over the media, it'd be everywhere. But because in Ireland there's not the only thing the majority of football fans in this country care about is whether the national team win a game on a Saturday or Sunday and whether they qualify for major tournaments. People don't care about the domestic league for the majority. They don't really care about the underage structures too much until we don't qualify for a tournament, and then all these fellas that go off and spend their money in Celtic and Manchester United every week, and then they're asking what the problem with Irish football is. There's not the general support for football in this country, because if there was, that man would have been turfed out a long time ago. But he goes round to local clubs and gets a photo taken, and he's a great man. And as you said, he buys a few cans on the train and he hands out tickets to X, Y, and Z, and he's a great fella. That's the reason he's still there.
Don't get me wrong, I always enjoy a few cans on the train, but surely you go to, who do you go to, the government?
You go to the bank for a loan.
You go to credit union, anybody.
I'm not going
to
walk into the pharmacy here and say, John, do you want to give us 100k?
Yeah, I could probably pay it in Viagra or something if necessary, but you know, this is ridiculous, Kieran, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous. How can a sports governing body borrow money off the CEO?
Surely that says the CEO has been paid way too much money.
Well, apart from that, Kieran, it just says to me that something's not quite... What was the money for?
Cash flow issue.
Well, what cash flow issue? You know, I mean, we can't really say... We don't know what it was for.
Surely if there's a cash flow issue, that's bad. Every business has cash flow issues, but you resolve them. You don't resolve it by throwing 100k of your own money in there from the business that pays you.
Kieran, what did he get paid back? I know we're talking about a bridging loan, but even a bridging loan has small amounts of interest, as far as I'm aware.
I'm not into the financial side of things.
No. It's all wrong. It's just wrong.
It is.
I still want to know what happened to that $5 million from Terry Henry's handball.
Again, at John Breyer, just speak to him, not me.
Yes. And
I'd love to know that too.
Solicitor's letters to Between the Stripes, care of Kieran Burke.
Just a final point on that. Dundalk got 110,000 for winning the league last year. We have a man here who has 100k just lying about that he can just lob at the association he's supposed to be running. It's totally unacceptable. It's a mockery of epic proportions. And I'm just hoping now, I have no faith in this system, but when he goes up in front of the Oireachtas, I'm hoping there's going to be some actual proper people with some footballer knowledge there, because I watched the last one live the last time he appeared in front of it. It was absolutely crap.
Yeah,
and we had the Longford Westmeath TD here on it, and he may as well have been talking about ballet or something, because he hadn't a clue what he was asking.
Who was that at the time?
I can't remember his name now, but if he calls around for the European elections, he'll be told where to go.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's much more we can say on that, but it was very interesting. I was just driving in to record the show here and was listening to RT Radio 1, and they were debating it on one of the news shows.
Sure, that apparently a government agency anyway, RT.
Apparently, an invitation was sent out to the members of the Oireachtas today to attend the launch, the draw of the under-19s European Championship with a pre-drinks reception. Now, the TDs involved have said they won't be attending because it's highly inappropriate.
So that is the equivalent of Delaney buying cans, isn't it? At TD level. Posh cans for the lads.
Unbelievable stuff.
But ridiculous.
Look, I'm sure you've
seen... How did they get away with it?
I'm sure you've seen the Sports Ireland statement last night as well. They're looking for clarification on what's going on, and the FEI responded with one of their classic vague statements. So this is going to rumble and rumble. But
anyway,
as I said,
one thing's for sure, we'll be off air next week after after we're sued by Mr. Delaney. But should we just add an alleged?
Alleged. Everything
that
John
makes
Breyer
everything
said is alleged.
Better, yes.
You can just give me a bridging loan anyway if we do get stuck. Look, final point on tonight's show. Ireland, two games coming up, two qualifiers. Gibraltar away and Georgia at home.
Yeah.
6 points from six there, surely?
Well, you'd like to think so, but it's a bit of a... Gibraltar should be straightforward, Kieran.
Well, it should, but again, we're going back to surfaces, and it's an unfamiliar surface, it's an unfamiliar setting.
Kieran, it's time to go home if you can't beat Gibraltar. I mean,
that's true.
There's minnows and there's minnows.
Well, you know what's funny? I went to the last Ireland-Gibraltar game out in Portugal, and Ireland won it very... I think it was 6-0. It could have been 4-0, 6-0. Yeah. But they won comfortably anyway. But I think it may have taken an hour or so to score a goal. And up until then, Ireland looked absolutely crap. And I was thinking, Jesus, Gibraltar might actually get something from this game. So you just do never know. And it's a new manager coming in, so... We'll have to see if his new ideas are in place and how they're implemented them and what players he's going to play, etc. So it mightn't be as straightforward as people think.
I just hope he doesn't start with Shane Long up front.
Injured,
yeah. Right. Okay, he's not going to start with Shane Long. Well, that's something at least. I'd love to see, you know, if you pick Jack Byrne in a squad, give him a run. Play. This is ideal. Gibraltar, give him at least 20 minutes.
Well, it was actually mentioned in one of the papers today that it could have been McCarthy himself, or it could have been one of his coaching staff, that said that this is the sort of game where Byrne actually might be needed as creativity, where he can sit deep and, as we've seen against Sligo, cut a team open with a pass from deep.
I'm so tempted to say about England not being afraid to give youth a chance and maybe start in a certain midfielder.
Who's youth? Irish youth.
He's going to kill me, isn't he? Yeah.
But yeah, so the Georgia game will be a lot tougher.
Yes, it will. Yeah, now, that's not an easy place to go, is it? Let's face it. That'll be...
Well, that's in the Aviva, that one.
Is it? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. So, home match against Georgia. You'd expect them to win it, but...
The two games last year were a major struggle against Georgia. You know what you're getting when you face them. Very rigid side, very good on the counter-attack. Yeah.
They'll be well drilled, Kieran. They'll be very, like you say, rigid, structured. They'll come for a draw. And that's what they'll be interested in, coming for a draw. You won't see much attacking threat from Georgia. They'll sit back and soak it up and hope to get something on the counter or through a set piece or something. You know exactly what's coming, and it's going to be down to whether Ireland can break them down.
Yeah, after so much negativity around Martin O'Neill's final few games in his reign, Mick McCarthy really does need to get off to a good start. He really does need a home win.
Can you see too much changing, Kieran?
No, I can't, no. I think it'll be a very similar style of football. I've said that from the outset, I think we'll get more fire in the belly from them initially. If results are going well, that'll continue. If it doesn't go well, then people will say this is the same crap, just packaged in a different way. So he does need to get a win. You're expecting him to win against Gibraltar, but he really does need a home win and probably a half decent performance to go with against Georgia.
I think, you know, you've got a new manager there, new old manager.
Yeah.
I think you have to try and get off on a real good start.
Mm.
You know, yes, you've had the misery of the O'Neill era, you know, the negative football, and, you know, he should have gone a couple of year or two ago. We know that. It'd be just great to see McCarthy get off to a great start, and it's more about the football that they play to me.
Just as someone that watches a lot of Premier League, it's predicted that Matt Doherty might start on a midfield wide position. Do you think that's a suitable role? Obviously, all his football at Wolves has come in a right wing back role, where he's been extremely impressive.
He has, yeah, but I think you've got a problem, haven't you? Your two best players both playing the same position. You know,
and I don't think it ever works where you switch a right back to a left back. That's been muted, but I can't think of too many examples of that ever working.
No,
too well.
So you limit yourself to either play one of them, which I think is a mistake because they're two very, very good players. I mean, Matt Doherty, don't get me wrong, he's been a revelation, Kieran. Mm. And that side he plays in is excellent, you know, and he's...
Won me 65 quid at the weekend, Wolves.
Won you 65 quid. But I tell you what, they were well deserving of the win at the weekend. But Doherty in particular, he's been outstanding for them. Mm. And for me, he probably, at the moment, based on form, gets the edge over Como. But I'd like to see one of them play right side midfield and one right back.
Okay, fair enough. So, because I always feel if you're picking a team, no matter what...
Doherty's is excellent going forward, Kieran. Why can't he play right mid?
I think it should be on form, though. And if you're picking a player on form, then you'd go with Doherty over Coleman.
100%, yeah.
Your point is get the two players on the pitch. So, interesting. Yeah. We'll see how that works out. But, folks, that's been another edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks for tuning in this week. A final reminder, live commentary from Athlone Town against Longford Town this Friday night. Myself and Jer Brilliant in the commentary box from the Athlone Town Stadium, with our broadcast starting at 7:30 PM, kickoff 7:45, and you'll find that on Mixlr.com. That's MIXLR.com/Between the Stripes. Our website is BetweenTheStripes.ie. You'll find us on Twitter at Between Stripes, and you'll find us on Facebook.com/Between the Stripes. As always, thanks to John for joining me. Thanks to our sponsors, Flomax.ie, Diageo.ie, stmelsbrewing.com, and to Pádraic Lockeries here in Drumlish for hosting the show, and we will speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.